We've been talking about being battle ready, and I want to add something very practical today, communicate, change gears a little bit, practical, kind of in a list, but giving you some insight. But in battle ready, this idea is really, I wanted to teach a series that gives us some practical context, not just heady theology, but some real life applications for what does it mean to be ready for battle. We know kind of, we have some perspective about war and perspective about soldiers and those kinds of things. And it's not hard to make the metaphor or the connection to our spiritual life, being geared up and being battle ready. So today's message is battle ready, being geared up. Geared up. And so this concept, last week we talked about being spirit strong, about walking in the spirit and really operating out of our identity. And that song, how can we say we're lost when you've saved us, right? I don't think I said that exactly right. How could you say it with me? How can I be lost if you've called me found? Did you hear that when we sang that today? It kind of struck me. How can I be lost when you have called me found? Remember, 8:1 in Romans. We are not under any condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, right? There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. You're not found guilty. You've been set free. You've been let go out of a legal system that was going to call you guilty and slap a verdict on you and say you're going to have these consequences. We have been justified in Jesus Christ. So we're operating from a completely different base point. How can I be lost, condemnation, when you've called me found, justification in Christ, forgiveness? Here's what I want you to do. If you can get anything out of today or anything aside from today, get a hold of this radical devotion to understanding your identity in Christ. Because what you believe will manifest out of your life. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again over here. Those guys didn't even respond. What you believe, you tracking, will manifest out of your life. Even the little things, the littlest thing, you guys aren't so bad, I'm just playing. The littlest things are so huge. The enemy wants to target your system, wants to target your understanding and this all of your gear of we'll talk about. But how can we be lost when we've been called found? Too many believers try to fight spiritual battles in natural strength. Most of the time, it's either we're stuck in a habit and we don't even question that I can actually do something different. We don't even question the fact that I might be sitting in a cell, but the doors are wide open and I don't have to stay here. I can go. I can go. I can leave. I can actually step out of it. But why don't we step out of it sometimes? Because I've always done. And if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Right? It's simple. It's not complex. But sometimes it feels so complex. Really, all we got to do is just walk out. Poke your head out a little bit. Make sure my face is not going to get smashed by something. Just step out. Go. Try something different. Learn something new. Challenge yourself. Lean into the Holy Spirit and step out of what you've been done. So we try to fight spiritual battles and natural strengths, or worse, without any gear at all. Can you imagine one of our soldiers going to war with no gear? Can you imagine one of our local police officers showing up and going, oh man, I forgot my cuffs. Bro, can I borrow your cuffs real quick? I mean, rough, huh? Or any kind of defensive weapons or anything like that, just being totally unprepared and not being able to do your job. That's what we're talking about today. So you're not this thesis in slide number 2 here. This thesis, this main point I want to drive home today is that you're not just called to believe. You're called to be battle ready. And that means putting on the full armor of God, not as costume, but as your kingdom identity. It's not just this clever thing, but it's your kingdom identity. So victory in spiritual warfare depends on being properly equipped with the full armor of God. I love that phrase, and we'll read that in just a moment, the full armor of God. It's interesting that Paul says the full armor of God. The full armor of God. This concept of full is this panoplio. Panoplio is this idea of completely covered. Everything, every bit of it, full armor. Fullness, wholeness, armor, all of these concepts are really important. You can't put on part of Christ and expect to walk in victory. You can't just read the scripture, cognitively know some Bible verses, and then go act like you want to act. You can't act Christian and not know the Word of God. You can't get these pieces and leave out other pieces. It just doesn't work that way. So this concept of the full armor of God is what I want to touch on, what I want to communicate today. Consider this. In the early 2000s, the Marine Corps recognized that reacting to bombings, ambushes, or attacks we call bang, the word bang. I'll show you in just a second. The word bang, it's too late when you react to the bomb. It's too late when you react to the ambush. You're already off guard. You're already on your heels. They developed what's called the Combat Hunter Program. The Combat Hunter Program. This was designed to train Marines in attack indicators. To see what most people miss before an attack happens. So when attack happens, there are things that took place that our soldiers couldn't see, they weren't informed of, but were happening. So they brought in psychologists to help identify patterns of behavior that precede violence. Dilated pupils, sweaty palms, all kinds of these concepts that speak to the details that were present. They brought in game hunters and trackers who could read subtle disturbances in the environment. If they dug a line in the road for an IED, to be able to drive and to spot freshly moved dirt in the middle of the desert. Or forensic specialists to interrupt molecules like tire pressure on the sand. Crazy. Or shifted body language. The goal is to see it before it happens. Smarter, not just working harder. So Marines were taught to study normalcy baselines. Meaning, what does it look like in times of peace? When there's no trouble, when there's no bang, when there's no explosive, when there's no problem, what does life look like? Kids are playing. The elderly are sitting on their front porch rocking. All of this stuff. And then they come into a little village the next day. All the kids are gone. Nobody's on their front porch. But before this training, they would just go, oh, that's weird. Wonder where everybody is. Bang! It's too late. So now they're looking to get what's called left of bang. So the reality is this. If you wait for the explosion, you've waited too long, right? If you wait for the explosion, you waited too long. The key is to read the signs before the attack. Pull up that right there. So we want to stay what's called left of bang. We want to stay left of bang. Let me give you a battle-ready concept for military world that illustrates this perfect. It's called left of bang. So in combat strategy, the idea of being left of bang is before the event. So left of bang means to live ready, not reactive. I think if we can figure that out, if we can put that into place in our spiritual life, Walk in preparation, paying attention to the details. How many of you have heard that phrase, the devil is in the details? That concept, those little things that we don't pay attention to, the little things that we put off. Because it's the little things collectively create the event. I had a conversation with a young man recently, and we were talking about these troubles that he was having and all of these issues that are going on, and he's not in this church. But we were talking at length about his life and what's happening. And I know a little bit about his life, but I asked him, I told him, did you know that we will broadcast onto God the Father from the reality of our earthly fathers? Meaning, what you think your earthly father is and does, we'll project that onto God the Father. In my case, I had what I would call absent father syndrome. So one of my major struggles was I never had a dad. I never had anybody to say, hey, that's wrong, son, stop that. We had to develop that, me and mom, and language and culture and circumstances. I had to learn the hard way, as some of you here maybe had a similar experience. There's what's called abusive father, absent father, critical, you know, absent but then not dead. My father was dead. He died when I was a boy, so it was absent with no return. So there's all these dimensions, but what happens with me and what had happened with me is God wasn't there when I prayed. When I asked the Lord something, when I needed something, he wasn't there because my father wasn't there. So I asked this young man a question, and get this. I said, if we project onto God what we believe about the Father, then what does your God look like? What does God look like to you if he looks like your father? That's a pretty deep question. It's a pretty hard question, especially if we have a poor experience in our earthly life, whether mother, father, these parental figures. But these concepts allow us to it's infiltrate our system. If the enemy can do something with you, if he can infiltrate into your life, and you know, if the scripture says take on some of the armor so you can at least be, you know, somewhat ready, and he brings some of your equipment to work, you know, so you can at least not be a complete failure, right? Just a little bit. Maybe your gun, or forget that, you know. You're all after peace anyways. You don't need to carry a gun, right? It wouldn't make any sense. It's the whole armor that is what protects us. We don't get to pick and choose what to wear or what to use. And it's just this understanding. So Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, to put on the whole armor so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. This phrase, whole armor, like I said, is panoplia. Wholeness and armor. See, when we receive Jesus, we get changed and we get transformed. We get translated, remember, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So we have this new identity when we get saved. So we're in a new place. So when you get saved, your soul gets saved, your life gets saved. But the whole thing about that, there's two expressions of the gospel. We get saved, and then righteousness and putting on the armor will put us in a place of being, our identity being impacted and affected. So we get saved, but there's still so much work to do. I'm saved, man. I'm good to go. I received Christ, and I received his blood, and I just go to church, read my Bible, and I do all that's great. It really is. That's amazing. But that's the introduction. Now the Lord's saying, come on. Let's grow up a bit. Let's put aside these immature things of our life. Let's move on unto salvation. Let's grow into identity. Because again, what you believe will manifest out through your life. And what you believe is often subtle. It's often really unknown. It's you got to do the work to figure out, what do I believe? But most of the time, you can figure out what you believe by the behaviors you want to change. If you want to change something in your life, Our tendency is just to attack the behavior. Just to attack the behavior. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to look at pornography anymore. I don't want to drink too much anymore. I don't want to lie, cheat, steal, or punch somebody in the face during a traffic incident. I don't want to do that stuff no more. I just want to quit. I don't want to twist him up like a pretzel in the middle of an intersection because I can't. I can't, but there's people in the room who can. I don't want to do that no more. I want to stop that stuff, right? I got saved. I don't need to do that, right? But the thing is, we need to work on getting our identity in place. So you find those areas of behavior that aren't working for you anymore, that don't match your value. I value Christ. I want to do this, but my behavior is doing this. So what I encourage you to do is twofold. You address the behavior. Do what you can to stop sinning. But then what you do from there is you back up. Why do I do that? What is that in me? You back up and you find out what's driving that behavior. And I promise you, it's something you believe. There's an ingredient in the soup that shouldn't have been put there. But the truth is, Jesus can make you an overcomer to change that ingredient, to rewrite that narrative. So you attack those behaviors on two fronts. But this whole concept, you know, about identity, this whole concept about identity, Paul was imprisoned numerous times as you read in the scripture. And while he was in prison, he had time to study the Roman soldiers. And just, can you imagine, just sitting there, just meditating on their gear, sitting behind them in a cell, chained up or whatever, or with them on a boat or something, and studying their gear and just trying to figure out and associate that with his faith. And we get this passage of scripture here in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been using this as a base for the last 4 weeks, and now today we're just going to talk about the list. So it's starting in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Say with me, his might. "Put on the," just a few pieces of the armor. Oh, I misread that, sorry. "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm." The full armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Did you know the devil has more than one trick in his bag to come at you? Right? It's a given. He's got more than one trick. He's got more than one. But if one thing works just fine, that's fine. That's good for him. But he's got more than one barrel in his shotgun, so to speak. 12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." So look to your right. Look to your left. And say with me, "You are not my enemy." You are not my enemy. Although it might feel like that before church sometimes. Although it might feel like that when we're doing the budget together. That's why one of them usually does the budget, right? "You are not the enemy. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, but against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Those are things that are invisible. Those are things that we don't readily see. Those are things that are beyond the natural, but in the supernatural. They're forces that attempt to influence you, to break you down and allow you, want you to believe things that aren't true. Believe things that will interrupt the code, so to speak, in your operating system. Did you know that Jesus gives you the ability to write new code? You don't have to submit to the code that was written. I think Romans 12 says something like that. "Be not conformed to the code of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, of inputting a new heavenly code." That's the concept. You can rewrite what was written. You don't need to stay locked into the cell that you once were in your former life and your former behaviors. God has given us the ability to transform and to change. What do you want to change? What do you want to change? Is there anything, if you just had just write a free script, whatever you want, what do you want to change? What do you want to see differently? You can do one thing that would have the greatest impact on everything. What would that one thing be? What would that one thing be? I shared with this young man the other day. I asked him, have you ever heard of a faulty father filter? And he said, never heard of that. That you project onto God the Father what was done to you by your natural father. And I knew the story about his natural father. And he said, I never heard of that. I said, it's true. You act. You'll act out. Even if you say, I'm not going to do exactly what he did. I'm not going to do the event that this young man's father did. The event is terrible. But I'm not going to do the event. I'm never going to do that. That's not me. I'm so far from that. I think he said, H-E double toothpicks to the no. You know what that means, right? That's what he said. I'm no way am I my father. And I'm offended when people say that to me. I go, all right, I think we're onto something now. What is the deal? What's going on? I said, so if you look at bang with your father, the situation, the event that you're never going to be anything like, let's go left of bang a little bit and let's talk about those choices. What small choices were made along the way that produced the bang? So many times we get stuck with the event, and the event is so traumatizing, and the event identifies everything. And we might have multiple events, but that event, that's the thing right there that costs the most. That's the thing that remembers, I remember, I'm not going to do that. When I was working through my own stuff with my own father wounds and with my own faulty father filters, one day the Lord said, it wasn't the event that caused you to have such trouble in your life. The event of my father dying and how he died. It wasn't the event, Doug. It was what happened before. It wasn't the death that caused such trauma in your life. It was the life he lived ahead of the trauma that you're living your life by to some degree. It's the choices, it's the habits, it's the mentality, it's the pride, it's the anger, it's the tough guy mentality, whatever it is, it's the addictions, all of these things that lead up to bang. It's a faulty filter. And I promise you, the enemy got in there somehow. I'm gonna make him believe this. Just as subtle. The issue is, if your dad wouldn't have died, Doug, you would be a better man. You know how many years? Maybe 45 plus years, I believe that. And just about 5 years ago, after this radical heartbreak that I had personally, that's when the Lord said it wasn't the death, it was his life previous to the death. See, your choices make a difference in somebody's life next to you. Did you hear me? Your choices today, your little bitty choices, make a massive difference. You mean something. God has a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for you. And everything you do, everything you say, every event, everything you're acting like and wanting to do or not do, those choices have ripple effect. So I want to influence you. I want to implore you to choose Jesus. I want to implore you to choose Christ. Choose to allow the Spirit to be strong in you and to live out of your identity that he's called you to in Christ. You are greater, much greater than you are today. The Lord's called you to something significant, something profound, and today doesn't define who you are. You can do and you can go and you can be whatever the Lord's called you to be. There's great purpose in you. He's got a plan for you. Does that make sense? If you wanted to clap at this moment, that would be a clapping moment. If anything, it makes me feel better about myself when you do that. I'm going to run through some of these concepts here. So, for our struggles not with flesh and blood. 13, therefore, take up the full armor. Say with me, full armor. Of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, in a place of temptation, in a moment of struggle. If you have the full armor, you will be able to resist. And having done everything, stand firm. So stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. The belt of a loin covering, a belt being girded with truth in a soldier. A belt was everything. It was the foundation of his entire wardrobe, and of his entire gear. That belt had hooks on it that would hold his shield. It had hooks that would hold his huge sword. It held everything. If you took the belt off, all the other gear would fall apart. There is like, I would imagine, Andy, do you have something, you have a big heavy belt that holds your equipment kind of together? Is your bullet resisting feature, does it connect somehow to your belt at all? Or is it just independent? But you've got all kinds of tools in it, and you've got a belt that holds some equipment, right? Flashlight, gun, cuffs, all of these things. And without it, you're missing a significant amount of your wardrobe to be geared up with. The belt is the same concept. It holds everything together. The truth. And it's like the belt is so, what I believe is so connected to our minds, because the enemy wants to get into your operating system. And that's what the belt is. Really, it's the operating system. It's not just about knowing a few truths singularly. It's about knowing the truth. It's about knowing Christ. And I would even go as far to say it's about knowing your identity and who you are. If you can resolve your identity in Christ and resist and reject the lies that have been spoken over you, you're to this, you're to that, you're not enough of this, and see your life right now, look at your life. It even tells you that you're not X, Y, and Z. Those are lies. And I want to empower you and implore you today to say to the enemy, you know, shut up. Shut up. Stop talking. I'm not listening anymore. I know your tactics. You're just going to continue to throw the same thing at me over and over and over again until I've got a weak moment and I buy in. Stop it. Get behind me. This is my identity. I don't care what's been said. I don't care what I agreed with yesterday. I resist it today. Because we come into agreement with him, and sometimes we think these thoughts are ours. Thoughts, but they're his thoughts. They're not yours. You've heard the old saying, just because a bird flies over your head doesn't give it right to build a nest in your hair. Right? No. Get off me. I was showing a house the other day to this one of the clients, and I walked, I opened the garage, and I reached over to the button, and I felt like a spider web. And it was just no big deal. It was a spider web, And I opened the garage. I'm standing there, and I still feel it. And they're coming in, and I look down, and I saw something black on my hand. And I went, whoa, dude. And they're like, what just happened? I go, sorry, I don't like spiders. And it was just something caught in the web. It wasn't even a spider. But because I felt it, and I'm thinking about it, garage is open. I'm still thinking about it. I look down, and... man, I wigged out. They giggled so hard, and I think I closed the deal because of that, you know? Gosh, things build up and build up and build up, and then all of a sudden there's an event. And when the event happens, you buy in. It's so easy just to get caught up in his web, the web of the enemy. You know what I mean? It's so easy to do that, but I want to encourage you to stop, pause, and say, no, that's not my identity. I know I've acted that way before, but that's not who I am. That's simply what I did. But that doesn't mean it defines who I am. Don't build on emotion or hype. We build on truth. We start our day with scripture, not social media. So easy to do. Scripture, not social media. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness, two sheets of metal that oftentimes they would look like fish scales, little chunks of metal that hung down, but it covered your heart. It moves from the belt, having this whole foundation of truth, to a priority of defending your heart. In Proverbs, it says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Our heart is the well. It's the place where all action flows. It's not just our mind. We get in our mind, like Proverbs 23:7, you've heard me say before, quoting Solomon, as a man thinks, cognitive thought, memorized scripture, cognitive thought that sits up here, as a man thinks, in his heart he becomes. So it moves from here to here. Right? So an action, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a character. So a character, reap a destiny. It all moves from one another, covered with the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I find that really interesting, shodding your feet with the gospel of peace. If you look at the boots, the shoes of a Roman soldier, there were like 3-inch spikes on the bottoms of the soles of his feet. They were affixed to the shoes. So when he takes a stand, he's got his fighting stance and he's immovable. Keep from being moved, shodding your feet with the gospel of peace. But when you look at these shoes, they're more like killer shoes. They're not these peaceful little weak sauce sandals, you know what I mean, that you see. There's these boots and they're a tube of steel around the shins and this girding that goes over the laces, and there's spikes. Couldn't get that word out. Spikes affixed to the bottom. It's taking a position and taking a stand. Full armor, shield of faith. Full length, about 4.5 foot tall, thick, made with animal skins. Helmet of salvation, protecting your mind and your thoughts with truth. The full armor. There's 6 pieces in this armor. Sword of the Spirit, being able to wield the sword of God, not just quote a few verses, but live it out. Get in your head, let it get into your heart, and let it find its way out through your life. That's the objective. Paul is saying, put on the full armor. You can study these pieces. I kind of wish that Paul wrote a commentary to the full armor, because I'd love to hear what he thought about each piece and all of the components. But I wanted to communicate to you the importance of full armor. Full armor keeps us the left side of bang, keeps us to the spot where we can be preventative, where we can get prepared, pay attention to what's to come. If you plan, if you're prepared in your heart, if you're doing the work in private, then you won't be subject to the tyranny of the immediacy, trying to put out fires constantly and not being able to really get stuff done and being frazzled. I just want to encourage you to stay on this side, left side of bang. You know, little note, Goliath and David fought in the valley of Elah. Goliath's a typical breastplate, I'm sorry, a typical shield of faith would have been about 40 pounds for the average Roman soldier. And they would have soaked it with water before they went into battle so they can quench all the fiery darts. When the enemy shot arrows, they hide behind this shield and it would hit the shield of faith. It would hit it and it would quench the darts. That was the goal, to put the flaming arrows out. And so to pick that thing up and to carry it every day was huge. And Goliath's was about 125 pounds, scripture says. Huge, weighty thing. But this was something that a soldier, 40 pounds at least for the average soldier, would carry that. But something special And here's the call. Here's what I want to call us to as we conclude. The shield of faith is something that must be managed, maintenanced, taken care of. The shield of faith is, it was supposed to be oiled and protected. So the soldier had a daily task to do with the shield. They would manage it, take care of it, oil it, and keep it preserved, keep it pliable, because they were made out of skins. So when the enemy would shoot, not only was it wet, but it was pliable and it wouldn't shatter. I promise you this, those of us who don't manage our faith on a daily basis, rooting out things that shouldn't be there, taking hold of things that the Lord's calling us to, if we don't do that, when the enemy's attack comes, the shield will crumble nearly every time. So the soldier had this regular discipline of managing and maintaining the shield. That shield is our fundamental. It was the biggest piece of armor. It was the largest thing, but it was the most heaviest piece individually. And it was part of this whole carrying this thing around, lugging this thing around. It was huge. And for us, it's huge. It's important that we wake up, we gear our thoughts, gear our hearts with truth. Gear our hearts with faith. Jesus, I believe my identity is in you. It's fixed in you. This is my temptation. This is my struggle. This is how I failed yesterday. I'm sorry for what I did, but that's not who I am. I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm in Christ, and I'm not condemned. Will you forgive me daily? Whatever it is, we affix that shield with us and to us, and we carry it around, and we maintenance that thing daily. So, a little summary of some key thoughts is that we don't put the armor on halfway, and we don't put it on partially. We put the whole thing on. So I want to ask you, what piece, if any of it, as you look through the list, what do you need to put on this week? What do you need to wear this week? Are you struggling with your thoughts? Are you questioning your theology or doctrine? Have you believed something that shouldn't be in the soup, so to speak? Is there an ingredient that needs to get extracted? How's your heart? Are you wounded? You need healing. You need to deal with something. I want to ask you these questions. I want you to consider this week. Be asking the Lord, what part of the armor have I been missing? What can I put on that I can defend against the attacks of the enemies? Because it's hard and it's difficult. It's not easy for any of us, but we press in. And Jesus has called us to be overcomers. So we learn to walk in our identity so we can find that truth. Can you stand with me? So Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for just the practicality of the Word of God and the simplicity. I thank you for this moment that Paul had watching these guards and studying the equipment and communicating such practicality, Lord. And this message has been so broadly spread and communicated. And here we are taking account for these six pieces that are listed in Scripture, Lord. I pray that you would teach us the value of the full armor. That we would be taught, Lord, how to walk in these truths, how to put on, defend ourselves, how to walk in peace, how to stay left of bang. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now on every person here and that you would make a deposit of your Spirit on us, Father, that we would come to know you in a greater light, in a greater way, and that we would take steps towards you. Encourage us, Father God, to grow in in the Spirit, grow in relationship with you. So we bless you, Lord, and we love you. We're going to worship just for some moments here. If you need prayer for anything, you need healing for anything, you need to confess anything, get something off your heart, that's fine. This is a safe place to do that in. So, Lord, would you come and visit us, Lord? Call us, remind us of things that we need to deal with this morning. Let's worship.
Turns violently inside of my chest.